You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 4, Episode 20, The Yoko Factor. As Spike and Adam plot to drive a wedge between Buffy and her friends, Angel returns to Sunnydale only to be attacked by Riley and a group of Initiative Commandos. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
Really?
And I'm Mr. Billowy Coat King of Pain.
Robin!
It's Angel.
Hey, there's Angel. There's Angel's on an episode of Buffy. I wonder if Robin's going to be here.
I'm here!
Shocker.
Yep.
How's it going, Robin? Long time no speak.
Yeah, I hear Faith is in this episode.
Not funny.
Aww.
No, she would be the perfect Yoko.
Did we even talk about last time how Riley left the Initiative and went to hide out in the old school?
Yeah.
Oh, did we? I didn't remember that. When I saw it on the previous Leon, I was like, oh, yeah, that, and,
Yeah, remember I made fun of him saying I'm an anarchist after he punched his superior officer?
Yeah.
That was like 3 weeks ago, right?
Something like that. It was a long time ago. We're moving on. Moving on. All right. Hi, everyone!
Hi.
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 I like this episode.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. I thought it was actually very good. Mm-hmm. The second time I watched it, I took notes. I haven't taken notes in ages.
Whoa.
I know, because I just watch and I absorb and I think I'm familiar with stuff and watch pretty close enough to when we record that I can talk about what I want to talk about. But I actually took some notes here today, which is pretty neat. I'm out of practice. We're going to talk about it and then we do feedback first, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for some feedback?
Sure.
Woo!
Sounds like some feedback.
Oh, trivia war.
Wink.
Let's start with an email that isn't so positive.
What? How can you not love us?
Is it about Redemption Cast?
I wish. A listener named Topher sent this. I think it's mostly addressed to me, so I'll read it. The subject is sorry but no regarding Oz. Sorry, but that rant in this episode was so absurd that I have to question even listening any further. Now, I understand that we're in a bit of a touchy situation where, Topher, you might not be listening to me reading this right now, so hopefully you haven't given up on the show and you're at least listening to see if we responded or if I responded to your email, so I hope you're listening. To turn against an entire character for a reinterpretation of a scene that is clearly not the intent of it all is ridiculousness of the highest order. Now, I would like to make 2 points right now. First of all, I believe my opinion is as valid as anyone else's. And calling my opinion ridiculous is something I have a bit of an issue with, but I'll allow it because I'm putting this stuff out on the internet and I'm basically asking for abuse, apparently. The other thing I'm going to say is that I think you may have focused too much on my rant about that one scene as though that was why I turned against a character. I believe that the entire episode's Ozness and how he really is now fully bad and not just bad once a month led to me not liking Oz, especially the way he dealt with Tara, but I'll go on. If you want to take any scene in any show or movie out of context, it'll be possible to spin it however you want. And it was hardly the intention here. I suppose that's true. Even if it was by some bizarre logic the intent, Oz decides to leave because of this, knowing it isn't fair on either of them, which also throws away that interpretation. Willow's response is simply true to her. It's her being understanding of the situation, not justifying it, not blaming herself. Understanding. Knowing it isn't a choice who he is, any more than it is that she loves Tara. See what they did there? I think I saw what they did there. even though I didn't read this last sentence properly. I love the show. I am not a fan of Oz, but that was just nonsense, pure and simple. So, I'd like to state once more that the opinions expressed on this show are the opinions expressed by the people expressing them. And if you want to write in and you want to challenge an opinion, I don't think it's a problem, so long as you're not being nasty and accusing me of watching the entire series before, which I think is always a positive thing. I can totally see that people have a problem with what I mentioned, right? Because I think it kind of brings in a perspective that people aren't comfortable with. Were any of you uncomfortable that I brought up, like, domestic abuse?
No, I mean, if that's how you saw it, that's how you saw it.
I didn't take it that way at all, but then when you went into your rant, I was like, oh, remember?
Yeah.
May I speak as just like a person that listened to the episode?
Oh, yeah, sure, Robin, go ahead.
Because you were asking me before what I thought of that. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big thing that this whole episode, what was I trying to say? You're terrible. I can't speak tonight. I've been drinking.
Yay!
Awesome. I'm going to edit that all out. Or not. I'm foolish. Anyway, Oz is a very much-loved character, and I think it's hard for people to hear that it might have been a little dominating male, but I think you explained it really well. I thought it was really interesting theory. It wasn't one I completely agreed with, but you can't dispute the fact that he even said that, you know, the wolf is become a part of him. I mean, this is full moon stuff. So, yeah, it might be the wolf's fault or the curse's fault that he is like this. But he's not just like expressing this once a month. He has decided that it's now a part of him. Mm. So I thought it was, you know, good on you for saying that.
Well, so. I appreciate that, Robin.
I like that.
What's your PayPal email address again? All right. Topher, I appreciate your comments. I don't agree with you, clearly. I think that's clear. But I do appreciate the civil manner in which you dealt with your disagreement. Hopefully, we can agree to disagree, which isn't really a thing, but okay. All right. Episode-specific feedback. Let's break up this Illyria reading stuff with a voicemail.
Yay!
Shall we?
Do it.
All right.
Oh, hello, potential cast. This is Paul Mackey.
Hello.
From the freezer room in the undisclosed location in Minnesota. this is a voicemail for the Yoko Factor because I am a horrible procrastinator and obviously didn't actually record this on the recording device.
Sounds fine.
Had a hard time writing a text for this week. There's nothing much specifically wrong with this. I just had a hard time saying all that much. Last time, they had Giles sing in what was otherwise a dreadful episode. Nothing that bad in this one, and I certainly can't poo-poo Tony Head's singing voice, as I do have his album sitting in my CD rack. For whatever reason, I never remember this as a crossover episode, possibly because, on further review, it's not much of a crossover. It kind of feels like it's fulfilling a contractual obligation WWB. Otherwise, I'm sure I'm saying nothing spoilery to say that this episode's doing plenty of setup going into the rest of the season. Hopefully the conflict at the end of it has you sat forward in your seat wondering how it can be resolved in two episodes. I look forward, as always, to your thoughts. See ya.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Can I talk about the crossoveriness of this?
Yeah, please.
You know, listening to Sanctuary, the episode for Sanctuary before, you know, coming on to Gabby. I mean, coming on the show. it's really hard to hear myself. I think that's the problem. Okay. So, yeah, there we go. That's better. Oh, soundproof.
Thank you for doing your sound check 20 minutes in.
That's been my problem. Sorry, it's really hard to hear talk without hearing yourself. Okay. So, if you notice on Sanctuary, like, Buffy, like, pops up, like, halfway through the episode. She's probably got as much screen time in Angel, as Angel has in Buffy. I just ask you, who came off looking better? Boom. That was a really soft boom, by the way, of all the blabbering that came before that.
Nice. Yeah, it was a bit of an interesting crossover episode. Angel didn't really deal with more than just two characters. Usually the crossovers, he's a little bit more implicated, isn't he?
Like he would have seen the rest of the Scoobs.
Hmm. I don't know, was Pang's crossover?
It's a good question.
I still think he could have just made a phone call.
Yeah, you know, until they're sponsored,
to drive
until they're sponsored by AT&T long distance,
or 1-800-COLLECT,
or 1-800-COLLECT. Yeah,
he could have sent a nice email or electronic letter.
An electronic letter.
Yes.
Wow. I believe we have another voicemail.
What?
Or a voice file mail. It's from Rob. Let's listen to what Rob has to say.
Hey, Gax and special guest. This is Rob from ObserverCast talking about Season 4, Episode 20, The Yoko Factor. So if you haven't watched it yet, you should probably stop now. All right. You stopped, right? Okay. All right. I had to write in about this episode because I think it's one of the most underrated episodes of the entire series. I mean, you almost never see it in anybody's top 20 list, but it would definitely be in mine because, well, it has so many fun moments. I mean, Freebird, Miss Kitty Fantastico, the Angel and Riley fight, Drunk Giles. Okay, so it has a few clunky moments, but on the bright side, Forrest dies, and although Captain Cardboard and his mighty, mighty clown pants can't crack a joke to save his life, he actually makes me feel sorry for him when he finds out Angel's trigger. And watching Buffy's chemistry with Angel versus her chemistry with Riley, well, reminded me of why I loved Buffy and Angel together back in Season 2. Most of all, though, this episode cuts to the heart of what Season 4 is all about to me. I mean, the Scooby gang drifting apart. Mm-hmm. And the best part is, it's all brought about by Spike's gleeful and masterful manipulation without ever having to throw a punch. And this episode really shows why I love Spike as a character. And for me, each episode with Spike is just a little bit better than it would have been otherwise. Even if he is working for Frank and Tony Robbins now. You probably don't see it at this point, but once you get past the whole setting up the finale aspect of the Yoko Factor, you can really concentrate on the great character moments and tremendously fun situations. Even the fight is fun. I mean, poor Anya and Tara. Anyway, I've been listening to the show since the beginning, and I still love every episode, and I cannot wait to guest with you guys in Season 6. Only about another year to wait.
Sorry, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob. That was lovely.
He could have bribed me.
This is true. If you want to take one of Robin's guest spots.
He sounds very Canadian.
I don't know. He might be.
He said a bolt like five times.
He's probably from Minnesota.
Ah, true.
Where, you know what? That's a little bit... Let's back up a bit to Paul's voicemail. What does Paul need a freezer room in Minnesota for? Anyway.
Was he saying that Minnesota is a freezer room?
And stereotype. All right. Let's do email.
Heidi's.
Heidi's. Who wants to read,
read it.
An email? There we go.
Okay. Heidi, the Yoko Factor. Hey, Gex and guest. There are a lot of things in this episode that make me laugh, like when Spike scares Giles when he sings.
He screams so hard.
Speaking of that, Giles should sing in every episode. I agree.
Yeah.
Willow and Tara are so cute with their new kitty. Xander inserts his foot in his mouth again and tells Riley what he doesn't know about Angel. I really, really love Angel. The Angel and Riley... I really, really love the Riley and Angel fight, and I'm glad that Buffy and Angel come to an understanding. It's just fun when other characters have to wear Xander's clothes. I don't know where Xander possibly found those pants after the 80s. I had a pair of those pants.
Thrift store.
They're so comfortable.
You did?
Yeah, they were my brother's pants, and I wore them to work. They were comfortable.
You wore them to work?
Wow.
What are those pants called? They're not parachute pants, but they have a special name.
Hammer pants?
No.
Or like Zumas? Jams? No, jams were shorts.
Oh. Zumas, I think.
Jams. Oh, gosh. They just make me laugh.
Okay, I also love that Spike knows how to push everyone's buttons. He picks up on things and senses the tension. I really enjoy this aspect of the character, and he's had it from the beginning. Remember when he was watching video footage of Buffy fighting to see what he could learn about her?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that is weird, why did it take Angel so long to get to Sunnydale? In the Angel episode, he left less than a minute after Buffy. He should have caught up to her outside the police station. But in this episode, she's been back for a whole day. I hate when the Scoobies are fighting. I hate the Scoobies fighting, but Drunk Giles is just fun. Great quotes in that scene. Anyway, I really enjoy this episode and hope you will too. Heidi.
Awesome. We missed the whole, at the end of the last Angel episode, it must have been deleted, the whole Wesley to Angel, go to her scene. So that's what held him up. He had to be coached.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the day. SOD. Yeah.
Just Rachel Horn! Who wants to read Rachel's email?
I think Gabby does.
I do. Oh, let me get to it. A minute. I'm having issues.
Issues?
I'm having issues with my PC.
Let me see.
I got it. Rachel Horn, the Yoko Factor. Thoughts. 1. Oh, watch out. FCC. We have graphic lesbian touching in the form of Tara checking Willow for split ends at the computer.
You done with FCC?
Yeah, you know me.
2. See if you can spot the writer's mistake. The whole Adam/Spike discussion and Spike's solution leads to a huge problem that will be addressed in the next episode. The plan? She is flawed!
What's 3. The writer's mistake?
Wow. We haven't seen the next episode.
Oh, I guess so.
Robin,
okay.
You know what?
Spoilers.
Okay.
I don't know.
3.
I can only guess, but I can't guess live.
Yeah.
3. Tara and Anya escaping to the bathroom together is a thing of beauty. Can you ship a friendship? Because I ship these two as buddies.
I ship them as something else. Next point.
4. Anya. Drunk Giles is not stuffy, but for an aged rocker, he sure wusses out early to go to bed. I love when he throws the sweater. 5. If a forest falls in a cave, does he make a sound? Because I sure cheered loudly. That's all I have for you. The Angel versus Riley versus Buffy scenes never come together for me.
Uh-huh.
Although I love Riley stubbornly not moving a muscle, and Buffy and Angel react. Work is almost over. You've hung in well. Your reward.
Ooh, thank you.
Yes, we get a reward. Season 5 lurks around the corner. Like Robin.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel.
All right. Awesome. Let's do what Beth has sent us. And then I think we need to get into the nitty gritty of this. Don't you?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Here we are. I wonder if Beth will use our words against us. All right. Folks, from this point on, you will be listening to some of us, but from the past.
Like a tiny... I don't think that the Scoobies are going to stay a tight-knit group of BFFs for much longer.
I think they are.
I surely do.
Really? I don't think so. I think something's going to happen. I don't.
There might be a little rift, exactly, but they're going to be best friends forever.
More evidence that A, Gabby is a witch. B, Gabby's watched the whole series before and was just lying. Or C, that Gabby is someone with a keen sense of intuition and has watched enough TV to kind of maybe see things that I don't.
I ain't no dummy, and I'm addicted to television. There you go. You guys said that own.
Because she knows how to play a long con. Long con.
Tommy Sawyer.
That was when you guys were on Upside Down and Halfway to Happy Land.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Damn. Oh my god.
2 years ago. July 19th.
Wow.
No, that's a year ago. I'm sorry. Last year. Last summer.
2011?
Yes, 2011. Wow. I thought it was 2013 for some reason.
It's only.
Exactly.
We made it!
All right. Hey, Robin, here's something you can do. You want to give us a little synopsis of some of the highlights from the Facebook group?
Oh, yeah, sure. I got that open. And I can read. I shouldn't screw that up.
You can read?
Yes, I just can't talk.
I wish I could read.
Ina says, it's a lot of fun watching Spike mess with everyone's heads. And there's some other good stuff here with the Angel versus Riley showdown in the aftermath of Sanctuary. Other than that, this is mostly a setup for the next episode, putting everyone in the places they need to be, and Riley coming to Adam at the end. Can't wait for Gax speculations and predictions. Jason says, it would be nice if the writers had any idea what they were doing with Riley. The assumptions he jumps to in this episode are ridiculous.
Agreed. Yeah.
He goes into super possessive jealous boyfriend mode at the drop of a hat. It's pretty bad when you're a bigger jerk towards Buffy than Xander Harris. Let's talk about Xander. I won't say this is kick his ass level, but Xander gets pretty close in this episode. He basically gets another chance to egg someone on to kill Angel, and he takes it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that they were showing what I got from Riley was Riley was making stupid mistakes because he was so jealous.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
I'm sorry. Was Riley supposed to come off as endearing at the end of this episode?
You mean when he bumps into Adam in the cave?
No, before that. I just thought it was crazy about when Xander revealed all his one true moment of happiness, and he's like, jumps to, oh, sex with Buffy. I was like, oh god.
Apparently she's awesome.
I wrote some notes about this moment.
Yeah?
Here they are. What does it matter that your current girlfriend had sex with someone else before you knew each other?
Yeah. Well, that's just...
It doesn't matter, and why are guys so ridiculously possessive, and why do they choose to make him like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good grief.
Jimmy in the Facebook group says, though I find the jealous interaction between Angel and General Golly G. Goober quite entertaining, why did Angel feel compelled to come to Sunnydale to patch things up with Buffy after she was such a mega bitch to him?
Yes. It's like,
fool is glutton for punishment.
I see it like, when he was dealing with Faith, and he couldn't take Buffy coming in on his territory. And now that the Faith issue is over with, he can now come to Sunnydale and make things okay with Buffy.
I don't know. You're saying Angel can't handle two women at once?
No, two girls at once, actually. No, this is easy to explain. He loves Buffy, period. it's just the way it is. That's why he would do that. He's not about to write her off.
That's Joss Whedon's job.
Matt says, it was so satisfying to see Riley get his ass beat by Angel. I know you guys hated Angel back when he was Buffy's BF, but I bet you never knew how good you had it and how much worse.
Oh my gosh. I still don't get the Riley hate. I don't hate him. He's a little wooden, but whatever. He's a nice guy.
The ventriloquist dummy in the puppet show was a better actor than this guy. So if you want to say wooden.
Okay, do y'all want Riley to die or...
Oh, you're
bitten off at the end of this season? Are you wanting that, or it doesn't matter, or you're looking forward to him coming back next season, or what?
I don't know. I don't care. I just think that Buffy's going to have a rotation of boyfriends because she's looking for something to replace Angel. Hmm. But she can't because she will always love Angel.
I've gone on the record as to wanting Riley to die. And mm-hmm. I stand by that record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they'd break up. I think he has to die in order for them to die.
I agree. I think he's going to do something crazy. I totally agree, Gabby.
I think something weird's going to... Probably something will happen where he'll end up having to save the day and die like Doyle. And then he'll be gone, and then Buffy will be sad, and there'll probably be another boyfriend who will probably suck, and everybody will hate because people only like her with Angel.
I like her by herself. Also, yeah. I have a theory for what's going to happen to Riley.
Electricity?
Mm-hmm. Electricity. Well, it would mean jumping right to the end of the episode, so let's do that. Okay. And then we'll come back to this little Facebook group stuff. You guys remember when Spike asks Adam if he's ready to get the chip taken out of his, if he has everything he needs, and Adam says no. That thing that Adam needs is Riley.
Oh, he's a tool.
Zing!
Zing!
Zing! Hilarious.
But yeah, and I think it's either Riley is going to help take the chip out, or what I'd really like to see happen is that Adam is going to take the chip out of Spike and put it in Riley.
Yes.
Ooh.
So he can be even more ineffectual.
Interesting.
I really hope this is true. Okay, a couple more Facebook things and then we gotta move on.
Okay, sure.
What if Adam... Okay, never mind. Sorry, go ahead.
No, Kim, you go, please.
What if Adam makes Riley like him, part mutant, part machine?
Mm-hmm. Which brings up another point.
Army.
At the very beginning of this episode, when that modern major general was talking through the really crappy early version of Cisco Systems teleconference to his superior, he talked about Adam as a prototype.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like an offshoot one-time experiment. They classified Adam as a prototype. So I'm wondering if the plan was to upgrade all these guys. Uh-huh. So,
But why is Riley so special?
Because he's the tallest?
Sure.
Because he's blonde and he's from the Midwest.
Sure.
Amy says, die, Force, die! I think my hatred of this character is shining through. Love Spike's eyebrow raise at seeing Tara stroke Willow's hair. How the hell haven't the others realized that they're a couple yet?
They're not around.
People don't know. They don't see. They don't see the obvious.
They've only, like, been around Tara 3 times or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they still can't see her googly eyes.
Can we talk about them getting a cat? Is there anything more lesbian than getting a cat?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me explain to you, Kimberly. Lesbians...
I'm sorry, that was the rudest thing I've ever said on this podcast.
Lesbians like cats!
I'm sorry to all the lesbians who listen. That was so rude of me.
No, they like dogs.
As they stroke their cats listening to the podcast. I'm so sorry.
Hey now!
No. Edit.
Oh no, ringtone.
No, that's tuned in.
No. I'm sorry. Hate mail to me. It's all right.
It's okay, Kim. Nothing will beat the salty jizz.
I'm sorry. What?
Never mind.
What the hell was that? Okay.
So lesbians, not always cat lovers. Is this what you're saying, Alirio?
I thought they're into...
Okay, next.
Next topic.
Next. Okay. Comments. Okay. So Shelby says drunk Giles.
Yes. Like
three times. Carol says they had to have Angel come over so Buffy could get back some of her cred on her own show. I love little Buffy pushing them both across the room. In the reality of the show, though, does anyone really believe Angel just came to apologize to Buffy rather than to just size up his her new boyfriend? Yeah, I agree. I realize that they wanted to have a decent fight scene rather than have Angel swat Riley like a fly. This is also Riley's show, so having him last that long in a fight was kind of a must. But I wish they had made it more clear that Riley lasted that long because Angel was being careful not to permanently injure the guy. Though it looked like he was not trying that hard at times.
Yeah, because Riley, he used to be stronger because he was getting the injections or the pills or whatever the initiative was getting, but he's not getting those. He's not strong anymore.
Mm. Riley's a cheap fighter. First he goes after Angel like Ben Linus, and then he just constantly is like gut and gut shots over and over again.
May I point out that Angel never vamped out in that whole fight?
Yeah, he did.
No. When?
Right at the end. When
oh, at the end.
Yeah,
well, yeah, but as he was kicking Riley's butt, he never needed to vamp out to do that.
Right, and then he vamped out like when that last part where he threw him into the pipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carol continues, I love the Spike action in this. He is wonderful when he is being manipulative. Wait a minute, he's always wonderful. This because he taps into their most immediate fears. No, they would not say those things about each other, but that is what all of them are afraid the others might be thinking. James Marsh is amazing in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Gak had also been wondering how the Scoobies would find out about Willow and Tara, and here it is. Could it be better than when Giles is drunk and Xander is distracted? I don't think so.
All right, thanks everyone for the Facebook feedback.
Thank you.
Now it's time for us to discuss the episode. Giles sings Miss Kitty Fantastico.
Yes.
Tara and Anya waiting in the bathroom is adorbs.
Ugh, totes adorbs.
Indeed.
Even though the Scoobies were fighting and whatnot, that was the best scene to see them all back together again, sort of. I was like, where has this been?
Exactly.
I hate to get rid of the rest of your female audience by being a sort of sexist or say something sexist, but maybe they'll appreciate this. Is every guy on this show on their period this episode? It is just whinging away. Giles is the worst.
Did it? Who wrote this episode?
Doug Petrie.
Yeah.
Was Doug Petrie on his period?
Doug Petrie was on his period, and he was projecting.
And then Angel came in and just, you know, brought the testosterone up.
Whatever. Ugh.
Yeah, but it did seem who
the real man was.
It did seem that everyone was whining in this episode. But yeah.
I thought it was interesting that when Buffy comes home, she goes right to her bed in her dorm room. She didn't go right to Mr. Wooden Face. Riley.
Also, did you notice how she lay down with her head with her hand on her head to preserve her hair?
Yes, her curls, so they could keep up for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, and they did not look very good near the end.
No, she tucked him behind her ear back.
It was like she had helmet head.
Well, let me ask y'all this. Do you think Spike would really kill Buffy? No.
Not anymore.
No. Yes. They're so Wile E. Coyote. And yes. That's it. Exactly. No, they're Tom and Jerry. They're no. Yeah, he likes the chase. He likes the fight. Plus, he probably thinks she's cute.
I think if he had the chance, like a real chance,
he would take it like years from now, not like tomorrow.
Because like in 2015. Again,
he enjoys it. But like, yeah, if something, if it came between him and Buffy, I think he would choose to get rid of Buffy. Okay, unless he was just so tired of living the vampire life and he's like, I need to die. But I don't know. How many? Because he's killed other Rogue Slayers before, right? Wouldn't he take pride in?
Even two at once, apparently.
How can you kill two at once?
Isn't that what he told? Oh, no. It was just total. Yeah, because he can't have two Slayers.
Well. Well, for now. But yeah, I think he'd take pride in killing another Slayer. But, again, well, he doesn't have Drusilla, so there's no one to impress.
Yeah, when is she coming back? Don't answer
I
that.
Miss her. Yeah, I miss her, too.
Okay, I have another question.
Mm-hmm. What was that? Next episode?
What?
Nobody said that.
Question.
Robin was giving me a clue. That's all.
Next time on Buffy, the episode, Drusilla. No.
Gee, I wonder who that episode is about.
Five by Drusilla. What?
Okay, well, if Buffy didn't explain the curse to Riley, what did she tell him?
I had a boyfriend and he was a vampire. And he turned bad and tried to kill my friends.
Yeah, I guess that would be... She would think that that's enough for Riley to be able to handle.
Because he can't handle anymore, poor little boy.
Apparently.
That's right, he's a boy.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering why the writers would do that. Like, to use... I don't want to say sex as a weapon, but like... To have Riley go off like that just because he figured out they had sex. Big deal. You know what I mean?
I'm like,
it was the 90s, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, they're adults. Wouldn't you go into a relationship with another adult assuming that they've had sex with other people?
Well, if you're mature.
Maybe Buffy was Riley's first.
Yeah. Possibly.
Oh my God, you know, I haven't done this before.
And well, you know, he's from the Midwest.
I'm a virgin that only wants to have sex with other virgins. I'm confused now. I'm confused.
I want to go where the wild things are. Yuck.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I just think that's so irresponsible to have these teens watch this and be like, so if I have sex with somebody and like, it's going to be all this drama after. Anyways, whatever. I just thought it was irresponsible.
But there's not?
Not in my world, baby, let me tell you. But anyways. But yeah, it's just.
There's more complex emotions going on because they're not teenagers anymore. These are the college years, and you have complex people like, you know, Riley. His feelings are very complex.
And by complex, you mean complex carbohydrates?
No, he's white bread.
I'm sorry.
Zing! All you nutritionists out there listening, you're welcome.
Ooh, I got one. Mm-hmm. Speaking of nutrition, how many times do you think Spike exploded a bag of blood in Giles' microwave before he figured out exactly how much time it would take to get it warm?
Too many times for Giles' liking. Matt, speaking of that scene, did you notice how quickly our man Giles turned to the booze?
Exactly. That's why I said that Giles is the worst of them all, because really... You're like the oldest guy there, and you're supposed to be a little bit more mature.
But he doesn't have a job.
It was like he was been battling it all season. He's been fighting it. He has no job. He's been trying to do the cool,
what's the word? Thing.
Starts with a T. The person that plays the guitar.
Troubadour?
Troubadour. He's trying to do the cool troubadour thing.
He's a busker. He should be, at least.
Yeah, and... And so, and Spike has what he's been afraid of, being the old retired librarian, is now a reality because that's what Buffy thinks of him. Mm. And he just had to wash away his sorrows.
With scotch.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. I just think he's smarter than that. You know, of all the people.
Everyone's allowed to have an off day.
You know, Buffy told me this.
He was having a bad day, and clearly, as we just discussed, he was having issues with his cycle. So his emotions were all over the place. He had to turn to the drink.
I guess so.
I'm just saying, from experience.
I think that little touch with the microwave. I've never seen them do that before.
Hmm.
Anyways, sorry. Valeria, what were you saying?
No, I was just going to say, I think this whole Giles turning to booze anytime apparently someone mentions that he's past his prime or no longer useful is a bit of an issue. And there's something coming up later that I'm going to quote, nobody else better quote it, that I think plays into it.
Hmm.
Okay. I mean,
it leads to a laugh riot when he's drunk, but...
Let me tell you right now, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Beer bad, though.
That was whiskey. Whiskey!
Whiskey, awesome.
All right, and so Tara and Willow and Miss Kitty Fantastico is
yay! Is
sorry,
the cutest kitten ever.
Oh, she's so cute.
She's so cute. But
I wanted them to eat it.
You wanted them to sacrifice it in some kind of Wiccan.
Yes.
Did you say Wiccan?
Wiccan.
Because Illyrio said that on the last Redemption cast.
What did I say?
Ralph Wiccan.
Like some sort of like Native American thing.
Me be wrong? That's impossible.
But they're getting ready for sophomore year. They're making their schedules out for it. They're making their, they're choosing their electives for the next year.
They're choosing their roommates for next year. Yeah. I say they shack up.
But which shack?
Do cats need leashes? I've never seen a cat on a leash.
You've never ever seen a cat on a leash?
One of my friends totally does. Oh my god, my best friend. She totally walks her cat on a leash.
Really?
I can't believe
that. How else are you supposed to spin them over your head really fast if they're not on a leash, Kim?
How can you fling them?
Random.
I don't toss dwarves. I fling cats.
I'm not a cat person.
Neither am I. I have two of them.
Ooh, may I ask something? What did you guys kind of freak out when Spike got that gun? And you're like, oh, there's a hole in it.
No,
really?
What? No, he has that chip.
Yeah, I know, but still.
No.
Like,
Spike's heartless. Shot.
Sorry?
A John Woo shot. Is that John Woo? Mm. Where, no. There's that where Spike is pointing the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on when Riley and guns in the foreground.
I was thinking Taxi Driver, but...
Well, it was the early 2000s, and everybody was all about the John Woo.
Yeah.
I might be wrong. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not up on action movies.
Mm. All right, so...
Xander's taking clothes to everybody. How pathetic. That's my job. I carry clothes to people.
Does he work at a dry cleaner?
He lives in a laundry room.
That's true. Nothing else better to do.
Poor Xander.
Well, he's need something to do.
He should have gone to university. What's his problem?
He's not university material.
Well, he should have worked harder in school.
Maybe he should have joined the army.
Mm.
Oh!
He didn't have parents.
I hope he didn't hear that.
It's not like he said it behind his back.
I thought Xander was going to bite the bullet and then, you know, apply late. And then go to Sunnydale, too.
Mm.
Well, maybe he can go next year and he'll be the freshman.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
For the life of me.
Do they all still have to go to college?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, damn it.
I think we're stuck.
Oh.
In the college years.
How many more seasons do we have?
We're halfway there, right?
Maybe they do.
Last season of this wonderful show is season 7. So yes. That would be season 4. Those are freshman year. Season 5 is their sophomore year. I don't understand what that word is.
Sophomore.
Sopho. Yeah.
They're sophomore.
Sapphic year? Is their sapphic year? Season 6 will be their junior year. And season 7, the last season, is their senior year.
Well, that's if each season is in a year.
That's true. They could...
They could fast forward.
They could fast forward. Flash forward,
I should say.
Whoa.
Spoiler alert.
Well, let me
go back to the 70s.
Oh God!
Wait a minute! Don't add a time travel to the show.
They put it in a dream sequence.
Did y'all get a anti-military vibe from this episode?
I get an anti-military vibe by waking up, so I can't judge whether or not this episode was anti-military.
Isn't this whole season anti-military? Really? Yeah. What do you think about it?
So, I don't know.
I think sorry.
I'm sorry. So, Joss Whedon, anti premarital teenage sex, anti
alcohol,
anti smoking, anti military.
Well, they were doing that kind of.
He doesn't like Nazis very much.
They were doing that stereotypical. You know, when they're talking about, oh, we're running out of cell space for all the hostiles. Well, we'll just pack them in further.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to tear each other apart. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, and then, what did they, when they were talking about Riley, they were saying that he thought too much or something. He used his brain too much. Mm-hmm. So, I guess they were saying that he wasn't soldier material because he wasn't mindless.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then later on, what was it? The other thing. I guess the whole negativity about Xander. Oh, well, you can't do anything, and that's what people do. They can't do anything. They just join the military.
I think I'm all out of points, you guys. I don't have anything to add with regards to the Buffy Angel Riley stuff, so go ahead.
Okay, I've got a question. Why did Buffy go to the cave?
I don't know.
She was patrolling?
She was just patrolling.
Checking it out.
Okay.
Because
there are many caves.
She needed an excuse for that really awesome orange jacket with the...
Oh, I love that jacket. That was
the bedazzled.
Bedazzled. Oh my God, that was the worst thing ever this season on her.
No. I think the worst thing are still... I think they're Riley's pants.
No, on her. It was the worst thing on her this season.
Okay.
I think that I can
So
recall.
Are you guys waiting for a slap fight between Buffy and Forrest?
Oh man, that would have been awesome. I was disappointed. I was disappointed there was no, run, Forrest, run!
She kind of says, get out of here, pretty much, to him. She should have said, run.
Awesome. I wasn't upset that Forrest died, but I was like, oh, that means they're all the like initiative people are getting slaughtered.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I was more upset than Riley.
You were more upset than Riley?
I'm sorry. Did you see Mark Lucas's reaction when Buffy says that? He just kind of like looks and then he puts his head down because he can't emote.
Yeah,
it was one of those things where I had forgotten, even though it wasn't all that long ago, I had forgotten that Forrest had been killed, and then I had something to tell you, and I'm like, "What? What's important?" And it's like, oh wow,
that was fantastic. Oh, sorry, that was fantastico.
Did you guys feel
fantastico?
This seems. The scenes between Buffy and Angel, the scenes between Buffy and Riley, did you feel a difference?
Yes.
Really? Because I didn't really care about either one of them.
It felt like Buffy was all chummy with Angel and was all very condescending and patronizing with Mr. Whitebread.
Like when they went into the hallway and they were like ready to stand off, and then they both kind of broke the tension with laughing.
Yeah. It was like they were laughing at Riley.
That's when
I was.
So I gotta go deal with you-know-who, the missus.
Oh, I man. Thought that was ridiculous. I was like, really? Who writes this?
What you missed, I saw online here, was that there's actually some lines that were cut out, and one of them was, hey, you better stop and get some Primacin PMS. On your way home.
Oh my god. Angel came up so much more like a man than Riley did. I mean, did you notice that he was too awesome to rat Riley out? Like, I just like got in a huge fight with your boyfriend, but you know what? I'm not going to bring it up at all. You know, because you know, I'm not going to be the one to tell you that your boyfriend is a complete tool bag. You know, let's talk about
what I don't think he knew that was her boyfriend.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he knew. Did. Yeah.
He oh. and yeah. He does out of nowhere know who Riley is in the alley. It's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Oh. But that only points to his detective skills, by the way.
Oh, God.
Justified.
But the reason why he's so much more mature is because he's what? How old?
He's 225 years old.
225 years old? Of course he's more mature. He's had just, many
lifetimes. Just count the fact that he's more mature. Even though he's older.
Yeah, Riley's maturity such... isn't a function of age, Gabby.
You're such a poopy head sometimes. Jeez.
I just think the whole relationship between Buffy and Angel was forced on us from the beginning.
Mm. Well, and, you have to do the podcast, I'm sorry.
I know. And it's like, they keep, I don't know, I like that there's tension between them, and when they fight, it's like, you like roll your eyes, but you're like, in the very, very back of my mind, I'm kind of rooting for them. But it's just like, get over it already, you know? But then I guess the show would be over, so I can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to shake them and be like, grow up! But I guess I can't.
No. Not anymore, anyway.
I don't feel like it's a... And I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble for this from the masses, but I don't feel like it's an important part of the show. I don't.
Buffy and Angel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her love life, I don't care. I don't. Sorry. Sorry, everybody.
No, it's true. I mean,
I'm sorry. Yeah, there I go again. Apologies.
I'm not disappointed in you. I understand.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't see it as being an integral part. Like, I see the relationships with her friends, which are basically her family, to be more important than any of her romantic dalliances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also points to the fact that Buffy is still the least likable character on her own show. At least according to me and my opinion alone. And maybe other people as well who might agree. So I don't care who she's stooping.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that the Angel relationship, right, it definitely was a big growing point for Buffy from
for
the
sure.
beginning to the end.
For
so
sure.
it definitely was a very important part of the show.
And I think it was more important with Angel and his development than it was for Buffy because, you know, he went bad and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely affected him. I mean, it made him murder people, and but mm-hmm. still, it was a
just
big
like my
part
first time.
Of her life as well, I would say.
To me, their whole relationship was just tragic. It's so tragic.
Mm-hmm.
And
but yes, it's tragic, and they hurt each other, and they hurt when they're around each other. So why go back to each other? You
they
know
love
what I mean?
Each other.
I know. It's like they enjoy the misery.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something comforting in them being completely miserable than finding some happiness with somebody else.
Are you saying they're codependent?
Ugh.
Are you saying this is a TV show?
What?
Angel's a TV show?
What? I thought this was real life. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Awesome. You know what part I loved?
Mm-hmm.
I love the part where when Spike comes, like, I can't think of the word, but where you walk very slowly.
Sauntered
up to Giles' door.
Oh, yeah.
And then had to put on that he was, you know,
running.
He had been running. and yeah. And oh, that was great.
Outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You know what I like to imagine? Adam sprawling on that couch listening to Helter Skelter. Just, I like to see Adam in his off time when he's not like standing or at the computer.
Mm-hmm. Motivating demons.
You know, I want to see Adam.
With just a few well-placed classified ads.
what's Willow trying to, what's the word, encrypt?
Yeah, he brings those
decrypt. You know, decrypt.
Yeah.
Because he goes to Giles earlier, and he says, "I can bring you schematics and files from Maggie's office." And so he brings the floppy disk, and she's trying to decrypt it. And
on a Pismo PowerBook.
And Tara's not even thinking about what she's doing, and she's stroking Willow's hair. And he picks up on it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Did Giles know? I think maybe Giles knew.
I don't think so.
I don't think any. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think no one had a clue, which is weird.
Actually,
I don't see how they have a clue.
Well, they haven't been around her, like you said.
But still, you can see the googly eyes.
Yeah.
You could read that reaction as two different things. So.
Or she was drunk.
Or he could be like, "Oh, Xander, you're so naive."
Yeah, yeah. See, that's what I was thinking.
What a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you guys are finally catching on. That's how I read it.
That's funny. I like to imagine Giles that way rather than being like, Willow's gay.
No, she really likes witchcraft. Wink, wink.
She like 'em, wick 'em.
That's sexist and racist, Robin. Please leave.
Yeah.
No ratings for you. Please leave.
Someone worse than me tonight.
Yay! Zing!
All right.
Yeah.
Are we done?
I guess so.
I got nothing.
Riley thinks that Angelus is back. Riley thinks that.
Oh yeah, he's gone bad. He's gone bad. Sound the alarm.
Debbie, ugh. I have to adopt the Debbie for Riley stuff.
And Riley professes his love. Ugh.
Aww, he was so cute.
Uh-huh. Oh, sorry.
Wow. Love makes you do crazy things, I guess.
Barf. Wild things.
Oh. All right.
Go with
Please leave.
Get them.
So Buffy tells Riley that Forrest is dead. Why does Riley go to Adam?
Because he wants to kill Adam. He wants to avenge Forrest, his secret boyfriend!
His not-so-secret boyfriend.
I don't know. Maybe it was part of the plan and Riley has been long-conning everybody.
I think I remembered mentioning a double-cross once before, but anyway.
Yeah, we mentioned double-cross every episode.
Oh, so you're saying even a broken clock is right twice a day?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I think it was like Return of the Jedi, Luke and Vader right there. It was that good.
Who?
Wow.
What?
I'm joking. Relax.
What?
You know, when Luke decides to, you know, go visit his father because he's, you know, he's like, I should.
What?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, seriously, what the fuck does that have to do with what we're talking about?
When Luke decides to go to Vader by himself,
is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I understand.
I wasn't really saying that, but I was saying that, you know, Luke is like surrenders himself to Vader, just like Riley surrendered. I mean, really, the parallels are pretty clear, guys.
Wait, so the Adam is
Adam is like Darth Vader.
No, I get it, but I'm like, wait a minute. But no, forget it.
Riley's a Jedi.
Wait a minute. There's the Force.
What's a Star Wars?
Riley is a lot smarter than we give him credit for.
I disagree.
I think he's playing everybody.
You think so? I think he's playing me like a charm.
I think we're going to see him, like, next episode, just rip off his face and reveal he's a robot underneath.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be.
So Buffy's had sex with a vampire, a robot, and the only human she's ever had sex with was a total douche. Good job, Miss Summers.
Oh my nice God, I picking them. About that guy. What am I doing wrong?
And people say this show has no connotations about abuse. Okay, let's move on.
Can I make one more point? And that'll be it from me. Listen, Spike did all of the asshole manipulation in the show.
Stop right there! I need for you to start over and rephrase that right now.
Oh, so asshole manipulation.
Yes,
sounds
you were going terrible. To rephrase that right now. Or people will drive off the fucking road listening to our show.
Wait so, a minute. We're not watching that kind of show.
This is okay. It's a new band name. I gotta write that down.
You can do whatever you want. Just rephrase, please.
All right. Spike did all the manipulating on this. He drove everybody against each other except for Xander. Xander's manipulation of Riley.
What?
Oh, because
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, Spike's a bad guy, but come on, Xander's a bad guy too in this. I guess. Clueless did he pretend to act? Oh, you don't? Oh, she didn't tell you? Oh, I better tell you everything.
I think that was genuine.
Like he was just happening to talk and that's what came out?
I think it's whenever Angel guests on the show that Xander decides to run at the mouth a bit more than usual.
Yeah.
Well, remember, he does have that deep-seated hate for vampires. Remember his buddy in season one who died?
Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse. You know, I recently saw Jesse on Dino Shark.
Really?
A really bad B-movie on Space Channel here, sci-fi in the States. He was the male lead. He was the top credited actor.
Nice. Jesse was on 6 Feet Under, Fisher cast.
I know.
He's in Haven. Haven is very enjoyable.
Ooh. All right. Let's plug this guy later. Are we ready for ratings?
Yeah, but I also want to add...
Oh, please, go ahead, Kim.
Because Xander, he's been in love with Buffy since day one.
Xander not only has to deal with Riley in this whole season, or pretty much, even though he's with Anya, he still pines for Buffy. Okay, I'm not getting it twisted. And now he has to deal with Angel coming back at this episode. So once again, he's reminded that he's not number one on anybody's list, according to Buffy. He's, you know, now he has to play third fiddle. Okay, that was what I was trying to say.
All right, guys, so unless we have any other points, I think it's time to rate the episode.
Yay!
Yay!
Kim, do you want to go first?
I really like this episode. I'm not sure. It's not my favorite, that's for sure. I agree with everyone saying there's a lot of setup for what's happening next, especially, you know, with the to be continued and all. There was a great point, I think, that Paul mentioned, that it didn't feel like a crossover episode. It felt like a contractual obligation. Yeah, it totally felt that way. I liked it. Some stuff was, you know, blah, but I give it 7 out of 10 mugs of blood.
Wow. Cool.
Gabby?
I thoroughly enjoyed this episode so much I watched it 3 times and never took one note.
Wow.
I know. And of course you had Spike, so of course I like that. But I like the fact that he messed with all of their heads sufficiently enough to cause the rift that I
predicted
many, many moons ago. So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 Godfather references.
While Angel is a class act, of course, in this episode, I would have to say that the rest of the cast has pretty much let me down. So this isn't exactly the best Buffy episode, but I did like being able to rewatch Angel putting his fists into Riley's face over and over again. everybody is acting bonkers, and even I can't even enjoy Giles' performance because... with his guitar, just because it seems so like, hey, they liked the last one. Let's do it again. And Freebird isn't overused, is it? It's no Behind Blue Eyes or anything. But anyway, so I'm going to give this 6 out of 10 catnip
props. Wow, Robin, you're so full of crap.
Wow. Hello, Debbie.
Riley. Ugh.
Wow. Steph?
You can have too much of a good thing. I think they're kind of overusing the Giles singing part. But, I mean, they're making the point that he's trying to be cool and hip.
Guys, he's bored!
Yeah, and he's bored.
Playing his guitar until his sex friend comes back.
Yeah, I mean, it all works for me. I mean, you know, Spike... He's neutered. He can't be violent, so he has to use his wits to mess with them. And this is the culmination of the whole season. The Scoobies have all grown and all went their separate ways. And this is how it all, you know, comes to a head. But the only problem is I just wish Mark Blucas was a better actor, and I wish the scene where Buffy and Angel go out in the hall and he just wanting to make it better. And then she laughs and they laugh. They have a big laugh.
You're right. That was the best scene.
It just kind of made me cringe. So for that, I take away 2 points. So wow. 8 out of 10.
Wow.
Jealous.
Who is scrunching a plastic water bottle?
I still have to take my recycling out.
It wasn't a water bottle. I'm sorry. Go back, Steph.
All right.
10, 6, 8.
What? Steph, are you having a stroke?
Do you smell toast?
No, that's epilepsy.
Oh.
Okay. 8 out of 10. Jealousy. Fueled bad decisions.
I friggin' love this episode. It was awesome. I'm giving it 9 out of 10, and I'm gonna let you guys pick the better rating system. My first one was 9 out of 10 Flying Giles t-shirts. But I think my favorite of the two is 9 out of 10 Funny Drunks Drooling on My Shoe.
Oh, I'd go with that one.
Awesome. Can I give a little tease here without spoiling anything?
No, you can't. Let's move on.
To me, this is the suck before the storm. This is
whoa.
So if you guys thought this was awesome, exactly, Artie. Exactly.
So what are you saying? You're saying that the finale, or not the finale, but the next episode is great.
I'm saying that it gets a lot better.
All right. So that's what we thought about the episode. You can send us an email at potentialcast@gmail.com.
What's that, potentialcast? @gmail.com.
Yes. Batman. If you would like to visit our website, it is potentialcast.com. No, it's potentialcast.com to check out the website. You can take a look at the show notes, directly download the show. You can also have access to our first 3 seasons of Potential Cast. Yay!
Yay!
Yay. Check out the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/potentialcast. Keep it spoiler free or else. Go to the Cafe Press site, cafepress.com/potentialcast. I know I promised people mousepad. I've been away. I'm going to get a mousepad up there very soon. And I would like to invite you to follow us on the Twitter. Woo. But you know what? You can call us like Paul Mackey did. 27040-BUFFY. Leave us a voicemail. Cool. It's quote time, and then we got to get the hell out of here.
Okay.
I think Kim is first. Kim?
All right. My quote for this episode, I had a few. I love the one that Spike says to Adam in the beginning. You'd be like Tony Robbins if you weren't such a big Frankenstein looking. You're exactly like Tony Robbins.
Gabby?
I need to get in character, excuse me. I'm so in love with you that I can't think straight.
That was hilarious.
I got one. You think you're the first girlfriend Riley's ever had? There's one big head on that skinny little body. No, you're just the first one who ever got him to commit treason. Riley had a career. He had a future too. He met you, and yeah, I've got a problem with that.
Hey, Stefan, what's the newest, hottest club in New York?
It's in this cave where I got a rod run through me.
Awesome. Here's mine. Oh, I am no Alfred, so you forget. Alfred had a job.
Aww.
Both the best impersonations.
That's so sad.
Okay, maybe you just do.
Okay. Yep, I killed the hell out of him.
Awesome. We don't have time for honorable mentions. It's time to talk about what's done next time on the show.
Next time. Oh my god, what is it?
Oh my god.
Robin, what is it?
Primeval.
Huh? Primeval. Primeval.
Hmm.
The penultimate episode of season 4. Woohoo!
Also known as penultimate.
What'd I say?
Pentultimate.
Pentultimate?
Yes. I think that's the fifth last.
Penultimate.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's going to be great. We're almost done season 4. Yay!
Thank yes.
Yay!
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We hope you appreciate the show and such stuff like that. So, bye, everyone.
Everybody.
Bye. Namaste.
Gerarg.
And if there's someone you can't live without, then do so. And if there's someone you can just shove out, we'll do so. You can be my Yoko Ono. You can follow me wherever I go. Be my Yoko Ono. Oh, isn't it beautiful to see two people so much in love? Bare naked as two virgins hand in hand, and hand in glove. But now that I'm far away, it doesn't seem to me to be such a pain to have you hanging off my ankle like some kind of ball and chain. You can be my Yoko Ono. You can follow me wherever I go. Be my Yoko.
Be my Yoko. Oh no, here we go. Our life is one big fun. Oh no, here we go. It's Yoko sing one.
I know that when I say this, I may be stepping on pins and needles. But I don't like all these people slagging her for breaking up the Beatles. Don't blame it on Yoki. Even if I was John and you were Yoko, I would gladly give up musical genius just to have you as my very own personal Venus. You can be my Yoko Ono. You can follow me wherever I go. Be my Yoko Ono. Be my Yoko Ono. Be my Yoko Ono. Be my Yoko Ono. Whoa, whoa.
Okay, it's not me.
Stop it.
I'm just clipping my nails. Doing my nails. Doing my nails, girls. gotta get that enamel off. Whatever you do with your nails.
You push your cuticles back.
Oh, there we go. It's way too cuticles.
Oh my god.